The commandments that God shares are these great principles. And they establish a relationship that we have with God and a relationship that we have with one another. It's very important for us to recognize the teachings that Jesus shares about these commandments, about what it means. When Jesus comes and says that he will fulfill the law, just by calling it law, we may not discover the depth of what God shares. The meaning does not consist with just the following of rules. The conflict between Jesus and the leadership of his day was when Jesus directed his objections to the oral law, to the scribal law. These were the laws that were put in place to rule every situation of every day. And with it came expectations that people were to follow or to live up to. And with it often came rebuke. Looking back and reflecting on Valentine's Day, I came across this card where the woman says, "Say it again." And the man says, "I'm wrong. I'm always wrong." The rules of the day were intended to point out what people did wrong. But Jesus' objection was when the rules were imposed upon others, when the behavior and expectations were imposed upon others. And their failure to live up to these rules and regulations led to their exclusion. And furthermore, those who felt that they were the ones who fulfilled the rules and regulations saw themselves as superior. So what does Jesus mean when he talks about this law, the commands of God? If you take the literal translation, it is word. What God is doing is expressing his mind. And with it, a focus on the reverence and the respect held for one another, and how we are to mold our lives around love and around mercy. We are to be a people of mercy, something that you will appreciate if you've been a parent, a grandparent, or a great-grandparent of a small child. The young girl was given her meal. She said, "I don't like mac and cheese." And the mother said, "No, no, 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 no. You still love it." She still refuses to eat. Then comes the demand, "You will eat your mac and cheese," which leads to then the crying. Then comes the debate, the compromise. If you eat, you'll get dessert. And then the total collapse. "Okay, I'll make you chicken nuggets." To where the child then responds, "I don't like chicken nuggets anymore." Jesus addresses these laws to point out the inadequacies, because it's not possible to fulfill the expectations that are placed upon the people. Also, to pass along his wisdom. Because what Jesus has to share, what God's words intend, go far beyond any rules and far beyond any regulations. And so he shares examples of what has been taught in the past and adds what it means to live in God's kingdom. Thou shalt not kill, you have been taught. What Jesus is saying, it's not about physically striking somebody, but even more so, it's about the feeling of the heart and how hard the heart can become. It is to hold others in contempt. It is to have anger, an anger that broods, an anger that does not forget, an anger that seeks revenge. It is an anger that leads to an effort to destroy another person. Such destruction can take place, attacking someone's name or one's character or one's self-esteem. But Jesus also shares a warning about these behaviors. Of all the ones that he lists, holding on to one's anger, belittling others, these experiences will lead one to hell and fire, he says. The word that he uses is Gehenna. Gehenna is the name of the area outside of Jerusalem where all the refuse was cast, where all the waste, where all the sewage, all the garbage went. And he is saying that when you hold on to these things, you are in Gehenna. You are mired in this anguish and in this filth. And it is better to put that behind you and to look forward. We are to help then to support one another. We are to remove barriers. We are to put things right. We are to be a people of reconciliation and restoration. We are not to endanger and we are not to harm. Thou shalt not commit adultery. What Jesus emphasizes here is everything. Everything that can be destructive. Not only actions, but also thoughts. How those can pull one down and mire them in Gehenna. Thoughts of the mind that are deliberate and are intentional. To follow through on them would lead to great harm and damage. The realization is such thoughts are focusing on oneself, one's own desires, not thinking about others, but simply what one wants. Such as the five-year-old. The five-year-old says to his father, "Do you want to see how many cookies I can eat?" The father says, "No, absolutely not." The son says, "Well, you don't have to watch then." The damage is when focuses on self-interest. But rather, we are to be decent in our words and in our deeds. We are to honor one another. We are to hold up one another with great respect. We are to be resolute in cultivating our relationships. And thirdly, Jesus refers to, "Thou shalt not swear falsely or bear false witness." First of all, he talks about a vow or an oath or a promise that a person can give. And by doing so, you're binding themselves to others. An oath or a promise, a vow to God, to use God's name is to partner with God. And therefore, that partnership is to be reflected in everything that one does. We cannot divide our lives into compartments. But everything we do, we call upon God and we live in that partnership. We are to then be a people of truth, Jesus says. And by doing so, we create a reputation. And our goodness then is transparent for all to see. The end result of all this is no need to make oaths or vows or promises. They become unnecessary because the bond that is formed in the relationship. These are the principles that God has shared with His people now for generations. These are the standards now that Jesus lifts up so that we can understand the mind of God, the Word of God, that are seen in our thoughts and in our actions. But yet, as we go through life, the tension continues. Martin Luther writes in the Small Catechism, God saying to us, "Whatever good thing you lack, look to me for it, and seek it from me. I will satisfy you and keep and help you out in every need. Let your heart cling to me." We live with this tension between reason and passion. We live with this tension with our understanding and our sense of sinfulness, but also then a desire for our own self-interest. But again, Jesus emphasizes that God knows us and knows our heart. Go back to Moses receiving the words of God and the very beginning of that instruction. I am the Lord, your God. That is the unconditional promise of God. I am your God. And nothing you can do can change that. I am yours. It is that good news, it is that gospel message that Jesus pulls out now for everybody to understand. I am the Lord your God. That is the promise I make to you. And our life then is living out of gratitude for the love of God. For the God who would never forget us and the God who knows us so well. There's another Valentine's card I came across, and it showed Bigfoot sitting there reading a Valentine card that he had received. And a tear coming down his cheek. And he says, "And I didn't even think you knew I existed." There's no question in our minds that God knows that we exist. I am the Lord your God. Jesus sits on the mountain and emphasizes the mind of God through these words. To understand the covenant and the relationship that God has established and for which God will be faithful. And then the Christian life, the life of the disciple, the life of living in God's kingdom is always an answer to that love. Amen.